Well, I have to say this man is oozing every drop of energy out of me and has been all week. So he doesn't let me go at all in any way. I'm trying to make the most of me before I go back up north. Tomorrow, God willing, scriptures tell us that we ought always to be ready to give a reason of that hope which is within us with meekness and with fear. And there is no other greater hope that the Christian has than the hope of Christ in the gospel. Or should I say, the hope of Christ in his heart. Because the Bible seals that up by saying that Christ in us is the hope of glory. And to give a word of testimony, I'm deeply conscious that when I do, that the Lord deals with us in different ways. Some of us are able to give a word of testimony, or at least we may be able to express in words, and others are unable to express actually in words how they came to a knowledge of the Lord, because we read that the blind man, when he was pressed in so many ways to give a word of how the Lord had dealt with him, he says, I don't know. The only thing he says, I can say that I was blind, but now I see. And that's the testimony of many people. And with others, they have a Damascus Road experience, like the Apostle Paul had. And some of us can maybe relate to the latter there, a Damascus Road experience. As most of you know me, I was born and brought up, as many of you were, in a community at least, you know, that had heard the things that mattered most you were growing up in the family home. That was true of me since I was at my mother's knee. I was always under the sound of the gospel, and obviously being raised up in a Christian home, I always went to church. There was never a time when I didn't go to church, and there was also never a time really in my experience, you know, looking back. Sometimes Providence is a book that you can only read backwards. And in your Christian experience, we read the book of Providence backwards, and we see things that we maybe didn't see at the time. And there was never a time really in looking back in that I didn't believe in heaven, in that I didn't believe in hell. I was convinced, probably because of being under the Word, that I was a sinner, that I needed a Saviour, that I needed repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. But all these things were in my head, but not in my heart. And in here this evening, as we were trying to say a few words about the woman at the well of Samaria, I was reminded of something a preacher said in these early days before I was converted. And he said, you may be here this evening. He said, and there may be but only 12 inches between yourself and hell. And I still recall asking myself, what does that minister mean? 12 inches between myself and hell. And he went on and he said, medical people tell us there's only 12 inches between the head and the heart. And so it is, he says, with so many people who come to church. And so it is, he says, with so many people who sing Amazing Grace. It's in their heads, he says, but it never falls into their hearts. And I thought, that was me. I had head knowledge of all these truths, but I didn't have them in my heart. They had never sunk really deep into my heart. And that was the case for many a year. And I suppose in looking back, I was like Jonah. I was running away. In fact, I was running away until a big fish swallowed me. Let me explain. That's actually what I was preaching on this morning, how Jonah, the man called of God to Nineveh, and he ran away and he went the opposite direction to Tarshish. As I said, I was under the influence of God's word. And I was of the persuasion, as many are, growing up in an island community, that I would embrace these things tomorrow. Maybe another day. Maybe when I'm a little bit older, a little bit wiser, and have enjoyed life. But I always keep reminding folk now that the devil's calendar is always tomorrow, that God's calendar is today. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. But I was oblivious maybe to that at the time. And I was an insurance agent. I don't know, I was 23, 24. I was travelling the boat to Barra, the whole of the Western Isles, selling insurance to every Tom, Dick and Harry, everybody that I met. And I was in a tragic car accident one afternoon. It was a wintry afternoon, and I recall there was a car accident before I appeared on the scene. There was another car accident where there was to be another second car accident a few minutes later. A lady driving a car lost control of her car, and she tried to avoid a sheep or animals that went on the road, and it careered into the ditch. And an elderly couple came out to give a helping hand with their tractor. And just as that little car had been pulled onto the main road, the man driving the tractor, the lady pushing the car from the back, I lost control of my car as well. And my car careered with the car in front and with the lady that was in between. Now, to cut a long story short, that lady was rushed to hospital and she tragically died 10 days later following the injuries she sustained. It was on a Thursday evening. And during that week, I have to say that I was deeply haunted at the prospect of going to hell. I can't relate to those when I hear a word of testimony from them that they were convicted of sin. I wasn't convicted of sin until long afterwards. But I feared, I was scared of going to hell. I saw myself worthy of a lost eternity because of who I was, a sinner. And during that week, I was listening to one sermon after another. And I was convinced and convicted by all and everything that I heard. And I went out. I mean, it doesn't mean anything sometimes going out to the prayer meeting, although it's good to be under God's word, whether it's on the Lord's Day or whether it's during a weekday. In my island community, people who started following the Lord, they went out to the prayer meeting. But we're reminded in Scripture, in the Bible, that Lydia, that she was always at the prayer meeting, and that's where her heart was open, listening to God's word. And Scripture reminds us that faith cometh through hearing, and hearing through the word of God. And I went out for the first time to the prayer meeting on a Thursday night. And my own little world was in disarray in many ways. And the following day, more so still, because I was involved in that tragic car accident that claimed eventually the life of that lady. And God was speaking to me. I was reading the word at the time. And within 36 hours of that accident, this portion of Scripture might well have started. My name is John Morrison. This portion of Scripture might as well have started. Dear Donald John Morrison, this is for you. It was that personal. It was that plain, and it was that direct. And I'll quote you, I'll give you the first two verses of that chapter. It was 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I suffered thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So I was converted way back then in 1988. And my greatest concern for these 10 days was the salvation of that lady that was critically ill down here in Glasgow. What about her soul? Was she at peace with God? What if she was to be called away from this world to the eternal world? And during these days I received a phone call from a house that I had been in that very afternoon before the accident. And this lady was a Christian, and she said to me, "I have good news for you." And I couldn't honestly understand what good news she had for me in the light of my own providence. And she said that lady who was in that accident was a godly woman and has been for the last 46 years. So I knew whether it was to be life or death for that lady, that all would be well with her soul at the end of the day. And that burden I had for that lady during these days when she was in hospital is still a burden that I have for perishing souls in a lost world. Because shortly after that, I made a public profession of my faith. And the burden that I had, I took it with me into the highways and byways to reach people with the gospel, which I did often late on the streets of Stornoway. And I was at a number of jobs, and I would leave my job at the weekend on Friday night, and I would go out with Bibles, I would go out with different items of gospel literature, I would be speaking, I would sometimes be the last person on the streets of Stornoway at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning, preaching out with the gospel. I did that in many ways part-time until a number of years later, when I eventually had to resign to God's calling to engage in the work that I'm now doing. But that started when I was with a local development company in Harris. I was their only employee. I was working in a number of jobs, and I was eventually in this lucrative job. It was a very, very lucrative job, I have to say. I was their only employee. I was accountable to a board of directors, 18. And everything that our little company touched became gold. And as far as I knew, I got on well with the board of directors. They got on well with me. But little did they realize that the unhappiest person in God's universe was their only employee. Because many a morning I came to the desk, and I knew I was in the wrong job, because I often cried at that desk until coffee time, because I was resisting God's call to a higher office, to be a missionary or to be a minister. I didn't know then, but I was wrestling regarding a call of some kind, and I wrestled with that call for 3.5 years before I eventually surrendered, looking for one promise or one portion of scripture as an assurance that I was in the path of providence. God kept giving me one portion after another. He was very gracious. He was very merciful. He was long-suffering towards me. I still wanted another one. I just didn't feel that this awesome office was for somebody like me. I always in my mind felt that somebody in the Lord's work had to be somebody who could speak eloquently and who had to have an MA or initials after their name. And I thought that wasn't me. All I had in my heart was a burden for the lost. And eventually, in the providence of God, I surrendered. I had to throw the towel in, and I left Harris, I think it was in October 2000. And in the providence of God, I went down to London, to the London Theological Seminary, where I trained for 2.5 years. What left me in London? The only thing that I knew was I wouldn't be in London had the Lord not called me. Having called me to London, I was assured 100% that there was a purpose of one kind or another. And little did I ever expect, if I put my hand on my heart, little did I ever expect to come back to Scotland. I thought that it would be abroad somewhere. Where abroad? I didn't know, but I had made contact with 23 different missionary organizations. And all these missionary organizations were interested. So I was in a quandary. What was I to do? And I remember one afternoon going to the principal's desk of LTS and asking for advice. And I still remembering him saying, "Donald, you're not going to get on with some of these organizations, and they're not going to get on with you." He says, "Their statement of faith is fine in practice. Fine on paper," he said, "but in practice, it's very, very different." So he started deleting all the big missionary groups that I thought I would be joining one day. And there was eventually only eight. He only left eight. And he had even deleted, I remember, the Hudson Taylor's great missionary organization. He had deleted that one as well. But anyway, in the providence of God, the door to Scotland opened, and I went through that door, and I've been now engaged in this work since October 2003. So it's 16 years. So I'm working from a base in Inverness. Somebody asked me some time ago which church I belong to, where was my parish. And I said that I have no church, I said, but I've got the biggest parish in the whole of Britain. I say it's the whole of Scotland. And I cover some of the areas where we have a church presence, and going out with the gospel, with gospel literature, doing open air teaching as the opportunity arises, and going to the main cities and towns and some of the rural villages, etc., etc. Now, I'm conscious that my brother here is going to ask questions before I go on. But I want to say this, that we all, some of us here, a lot of us, are engaged in witnessing and in gospel outreach. There is power in an invitation. If I can say it, there is incredible power in an invitation. And that was forcibly brought before me last year when we went home to Scarpe, of all places. And on the Lord's Day afternoon, my dear wife had gone out for a walk, and she saw a poster. And it so happened that for 3 weeks in the community centre, soldiers from an English base, they were deployed to do training exercises and projects throughout Paris. And when she came back that afternoon, she said to me, she saw a sign, and the sign said, where's the sign? "Show hospitality to the soldiers." I think it was the local council that had placed this sign, to show kindness and hospitality to the soldiers during their 3 weeks on Scarpe. And she nudged me and she said, "You invite souls throughout Scotland to go to church. Why shouldn't you go and ask these soldiers to come to church? Some of them may have never heard the gospel before. Some of them may never hear the gospel again." So she prompted me. So I went into the community centre. I think it was about 3:30. And these lads were all fast asleep. And I thought, will I or won't I awake them? So I awoke them. And I said, "Lads, a warm welcome is extended to you to come this evening to hear the gospel in the local church. Not very long, an hour, 10 minutes, an hour, 15, but you're all warmly welcome to come without exception. And kindness will be extended to you afterwards." And the leader thanked me for the invitation, and he said, "We'll think about it." You can imagine my joy 2 hours later when 9 of these soldiers came to church. And I wasn't preaching, somebody else was preaching, but they heard a powerful gospel message. And some of them said later that evening that they had never heard the gospel before until that evening. So they were provided with spiritual food, food for their souls and food for their bodies. And I would just exhort you, when you meet with people, whether it be your next door neighbour, whoever it be, encourage, come along with us. It doesn't cost anything. to invite somebody to hear a gospel message. Faith cometh through hearing, and hearing through the word of God.